All right, some of you didn't know this, but we're going to continue tonight. And I've talked with several ladies who did not get to give it a testimony of salvation and or tithing. So we're going to let them do that tonight. And we have four in line for that tonight, so that'll be a blessing. A verse starting tonight, Psalm 145, verse 12. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And so some of the saints will be doing that once again tonight. So I'm going to go get my wife and have her start us out. I have a brief message I'm going to give to Julia while I'm in there, and I'll be back when she's done. All right, so you may be seated. Amen.
I did send a message to, who did I send messages to today? Miss Pat and Lindsay, yes. I said, Pastor said you guys are on for preaching tonight. Oh, wait, no, I think he said, no, your testimonies, that's right. Well, when we first started out, of course, it's been over 30 years ago, and I was thankful to have, of course, my husband was just saved. I mean, just. And we got married and everything and started becoming faithful at church. And I've always been a law keeper. So I don't like to get in trouble. I don't like punishment. So I always did everything to avoid punishment. And not necessarily because my heart was in it. And thankfully, I had a husband who grew just faithfully in the Lord. And we were told at church that we should tithe and we should give to missions. And that's what we heard preached. And we talked about it. And thankfully, the Lord gave me a spirit. He had to do a lot of work there to just follow my husband. And I'm thankful that he took the lead in that right away, and we started giving and started tithing. Mind you, at that time, I think he made minimum wage, maybe just a little above it. We had a baby. We lived in maybe a 500-square-foot apartment. And when our car ran, it was one of those ones where you had to keep one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake while you're at a light, because if you take your foot off the gas, it's going to stall, and it may not start again. Sometimes you had to start it with a screwdriver by jumping the solenoid under the hood, and that was our one car. So we didn't have much, and to tithe was a huge sacrifice to us. Of course, little did we know that it was actually not a sacrifice, it was actually a blessing. And the Lord took care of all of our needs. And of course, as the years went by, he always took care of our needs. And we didn't always live in that kind of a situation, but we often did not have any extra ever. And but still, I always wrote out the check because I take care of the bills. And I never really felt like, I never really counted it. You know, it was, this is tithe, this is like rent, you pay it. That's just what you have to do, you pay it. Whether you think it's worth it or not. And out of duty, I always did, because I'm a law keeper. And I didn't want to get punishment, and so I did it. And of course, because my husband also was taking the lead in that. And then as the years went by and I saw how the Lord took care of us, things change. And then as I started learning more of his word and I started memorizing more scripture, and the verse Psalm 34:8 just became so real to me, just taste and see how good the Lord is. And I can honestly say we've tasted and seen. And I would if I had to go back, doing it all over again, knowing what I know now, I would have started right away. Give to the Lord, because we have tasted and seen how good He is. And He has brought me to a place where giving is actually a heart thing now, where it's not a duty. And I have to say that this past year, He's just really grown me in that even more, just where I've gotten to the point where I was actually, like, really happy, like, oh, we get a chance to give again. Lord, show us where we can give, or what, you know, because I know He's going to bless it, and it may not be financially. That's fine. I would love to see the spiritual blessings, but, you know, that wasn't who I was a long time ago. But that is who He's making me into, because when we take the step, He says, you take the step and I'll bless. And it's all going to be done on faith. And we took the steps. Thankfully, my husband took the steps. and the Lord gave me a heart to follow. And so I'm very thankful. I would never go back. I would never even think now. Now when I write out the check, it's, is this all I can give, Lord? We should do more. And so I'm just very thankful. I'm very thankful. Lord is faithful. And He's faithful. I think that's it. I'll let Him preach.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
Man, I repented. All right. Who is next? We have Ms. Pat, Sister Stephanie, and Sister Lindsay. Who wants to go? Okay. Yes.
I need a step stool. That's okay. That's fine.
We want to get you on our record there.
Ian's all know that Dennis and I were saved about the same time, but we were 1,000 miles apart, thousands of miles apart. And I was one of those lucky girls that my husband took me to Hawaii, and we were there for just a couple of months, and we made some good friends, very good friends, and they were shipmates, and they started praying for us. And when he went to sea, I got a message saying that our boat went down and it wasn't coming back up. My mother called me and said my father had died, not Dennis, but my natural father. And the helicopter port behind our home blew up. And I was pretty scared. And my friend, Sherry, she says, Pat, come to church with me. So we went to church together. We took our kids and we just, you know, we were in church for about a month, and the Lord started speaking to me, and Pastor was preaching about how Jesus, He came in, and He was angry with the money changers, and He threw the tables. And I was thinking about that when I got home, thinking, you know, Jesus was mad. I'm mad because I'm by myself. I have to take care of everything here, and I think my husband's going to die. And it was a real scary time for me. So that afternoon, Sherry called me. She says, you know, God's speaking to your heart, isn't He? And I says, yeah, Sherry, He is. I says, I need to be saved, but I don't know how to do it. And so she went through the plan of salvation with me, and I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I've just been blessed ever since, you know. Dennis came home from sea, and he was okay. And I told him the first night he was home, I says, honey, turn off the light, I've got something to tell you. And his immediate thought was, uh-oh, she's going to leave me. I says, Dennis, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. We don't communicate when he's at sea. He's gone for 3 months at a time, and he didn't know this. So I says, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. The light came on. He was crying. I was crying. He says, I was so scared. He says, I accepted the Lord as my Savior also. Amen. My friend Sherry's husband had been praying also. And that's what happened.
Amen. So
God is just good. He is so good to us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right.
I grew up in a Christian family, and my mom would do the Keys for Kids devotions with us every night with us kids and before bedtime, and I remember doing that for quite a while. And then when I was around six, she asked one night after that if I wanted to get saved, and I said yes. And I remember praying and asking Jesus into my heart, and then several years went by, and went to various churches and home church for a while, and just different things in my life. And then around when I was about 15, I started kind of having doubts about it, just that it would keep coming back, and you convinced yourself that you'd prayed, but you still weren't really sure. You just had that doubt, not that assurance you would have if you really knew. And so after struggling with it for a while, then I ended up praying again because I knew I wanted to know where I was going when I died and to have that assurance. And it's I think looking back at that age, I wasn't really fully aware of the decision. It sounds good, you know, you don't want to go to hell, but you don't understand what Christ really did for you and his sacrifice. And it was just kind of a light bulb came on, and I knew that. And it's just been a it's been a long journey, but I'm grateful that he drew me back to him, and just he's been faithful ever since.
Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home, and in fact, I had very little exposure to anything related to religion or spirituality, Jesus, God, anything. Just no, there was absolutely no teaching about it in my home or anything. And I grew up in a very small town, like we're talking 100 people. so there just weren't a lot of opportunities, and it just wasn't something that was there. You know, people didn't knock on doors or anything. There was not an exposure there for me. So I grew up. A lot of years passed, I got married, and neither Brian nor I were Christians when we got married, and we were married for a couple years, two and a half years, and things were not going very well. Things were pretty rocky, and unbeknownst to me, Brian got saved in the spring, April-ish, I want to say, and he would continually ask me if I would be willing to meet with his parents' pastor to get counseling with him. And I said, yeah, I was open to that and everything, and it just never happened. We lived in Philadelphia, and his parents lived in Harrisburg, and we went back on a lot of weekends, and we would go to church with them, but it just never, a meeting never happened. Well, finally in July that summer, we were camping in their area, and the pastor came out to the campground and met with us, and he sat down and he said, you know, I'm happy to help you with your marriage, talk to you and do that. He said that he would be remiss to do that without talking to us about Jesus, about salvation, about having a home in heaven. And he kind of started me way at the beginning and asked me kind of my thoughts on evolution. He didn't speak about it in those terms, but basically that's where he was started. And I guess I hadn't really put a lot of thought into my belief about evolution itself. And I told him I believed in something greater than myself, but I didn't know that I call it God. I'd never had really any much exposure to God, so I didn't really think in those terms. So anyway, he sent me home with a set of Kent Dehoven DVDs, and I started watching those, and I was convinced pretty quickly that there was a God. I mean, it was really pretty quick thing for me. It didn't take a lot. And then soon after that, I met him again. Brian was with me, and I still did not know my husband was saved, by the way. Did I? I don't remember if he told me that at the campground. I don't think he did. I don't think I knew that until the day we met in his office. Boy, they kept a good secret. Anyway, so I don't remember how many weeks it was, but probably a couple weeks later, we were back in Harrisburg, and Brian and I met Pastor Jim in his office, and he handed me a Bible, and he pointed me to all the scriptures that were familiar with the Romans Road and such, and had me read those verses out loud. And by the end, I was sobbing, and I didn't feel like I really had a choice. He just kind of said, you know, well, it's obvious that you're convicted, and you know, pray after me. And I prayed, and I was sobbing, and Brian was there. And then he said, next weekend, you and Brian are going to get baptized. And again, I didn't really feel like I had a choice in that either, but the next weekend, we were both baptized. And then about a month later, we moved out here and started. We eventually I was here a couple weeks before Brian, and I went to a couple of other churches. And then when Brian got here, we ended up at Mid Valley Baptist, and that's where we stayed. And learned a lot. Lisa started discipling me one-on-one, and that a big learning curve, but I learned a lot in a short period of time. And for a while, I kind of sometimes would wonder if I was saved, and I think the change within me was kind of gradual. I learned a lot, knowledge-wise, I learned a lot in a short amount of time, but the change inside me was kind of gradual. But at some point, I couldn't pinpoint when it was, but at some point, I could look back and just say, you know, I know I'm saved because there have been a lot of changes in me that I know I wouldn't have made otherwise. So I do have that assurance that I'm saved, and I also know that if God had not come into my life, I'm convinced that Brian and I would not have lasted. And now we have four beautiful children as a testimony to that, too.
So I guess I'll give you mine as well. You probably have all heard it here and there through messages, but I'll burden you again. God's good, isn't he? I'm thankful for God, how God works, reaches out and saves us. I grew up pretty much, most of you know, my knowledge of religion was some kind of an endure unto the end religion where all kinds of works were involved, and if you were faithful, you would, if you were deemed faithful enough when Christ returned, then you'd go to heaven to be with him. If you were not, then you would, and you died, then you would go to hell. And that's kind of what I knew about, religion. It didn't really make any impact on my life. I kind of ignored it. I feared hell. I remember believing growing up that there was a heaven, there was a hell. I don't remember ever doubting that, but I knew that I wasn't on my way to heaven, I guess. Well, I was telling Brother Brian that growing up, I hear about the rapture, and I always got good grades in school, even though I was kind of a derelict and didn't apply myself to things, but I kind of thought, I've always passed my test, so if this is some kind of a test, surely I'll pass it, and I'll at least get in, on a curb or something, that kind of thinking. And, long story shorter, or not quite so long, I graduated high school, and my parents were not of the ilk of college and things. College was never even mentioned to us. They come from a background where you just graduated and you went to work. And we found out later that my father, because he worked at a state park, we could have had tuition grants, all of us, for that, but we never knew that, and Dad never shared that with us. So I began looking for work around the house there, around our area there, went in with 50-mile radius, and no jobs. So I met Lisa, and I was lost in sin, living in sin, and just, living for myself. And she was backslidden and not living for the Lord. And so we eventually moved down to Florida, where her parents were, hoping to be able to find work and such. I remember driving down in an old Buick. What in the world was it? Buick Century. that a friend of ours, we bought it from a friend of ours, and he'd put a stick on the floor, a three-speed in a Buick Century, and that's what we drove down to Florida in. We had everything that we owned in that car, and we were eating venison sandwiches on the way down and such, had it packed in a cooler in the back, and we got there and moved in with, we weren't married at the time, moved in with her parents, and I, you know, started getting a job, or looking for a job, and got the first job that I could find, and it was a job washing dishes on an island restaurant there somewhere. Remember having to transfer the bus three times to get there to wash dishes, and then get, you know, and then come home. And then I got a better job. It was closer to where her mom and dad lived, and it was a job washing pots and pans by hand, but it paid a little bit more money, and. And it came to the point when I was working there, I was kind of getting pretty discouraged. I was still drinking and doing drugs and all those kind of things. And Lisa and I were fighting back and forth. And finally, she had said if I didn't quit drinking, she was going to leave me. And I knew, there was just no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I remember we had the car was up on blocks and not running. I was walking to the job at that time, and I was walking home one day, and a girl was out there passing out tracks, and the track that she had was a little blue and white track, and it said if you died today, she said, "Excuse me." She walked up and just kind of politely accosted me there on the way home from doing the pots and pans, and said, "Excuse me, can I ask you a question?" Said, "Sure." She said, "If you were to die today, are you 100% sure where you'd go to heaven?" And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, if I were to die today, I'm 100% sure where I'd go, but it wouldn't be heaven." And so she just encouraged me to read that track, and God continued to work in my heart and convict me. And I remember we visited, eventually decided to go to visit a couple other churches, a couple of them we didn't even go in for some reason. We heard rumblings going on in there. But then finally I told her, I said, "Well, I want to go to this church. I want to go to this church where this tract was given to me." And so we went that Sunday morning, and Lisa had told me about the gospel and about it being a gift, but she wasn't living for the Lord, so it kind of went in one ear and out the other, you know, and other than that, I was 21. I'd never heard that the gospel was a free gift. I'd never heard that on a radio station. Nobody in school for 12 years, the school that I went to was kindergarten through 12th grade, all the same area, all the way up there. No one ever tried to tell me about Jesus. And I know there were kids that had to be saved there, and I wondered why, you know. So I told her I wanted to go there, so we went there to that church. I remember slipping inside the door, right inside the back, and the exit sign was right there, sitting in the last pew, and I could almost reach up and touch the exit sign, you know. And Pastor Colbert was preaching, and he preached a message, and I don't remember what it was all about, but I remember he preached very clearly the gospel, and the invitation came out, "Is God speaking to you? You know, do you need to be saved?" And I just remember I sitting in the back, God was drawing me up there. I had to go forward, and I went forward, and I bowed and I prayed and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and it was like I felt a load coming. I could feel a load lifted off my shoulders, I prayed. I came forward and they had me. A deacon come and talk to me, and she showed me how to pray, showed me through the Bible, took me through the Romans Road, and so I prayed and got saved, and then he showed me that being saved, that I had to go home and tell someone that I got saved. Of course, home was living with my folks that weren't even my in-laws yet, and they knew the kind of life that I was living, you know, before I went to church that morning, now I'm going to come and, you know, tell them, hey, and I did that. I went and I told them that I had received Jesus as my Savior, and they kind of laughed and thought that was kind of this is funny. What kind of a phase are you going to go through now, you know? Thankfully, that phase is still continuing. Amen. And praise God for that. So I just thank God for His saving power. And I'll just give a brief testimony about tithing. Tithing is an interesting thing. I actually tithed before I was saved for a little while, and with a mixed kind of religious thought that I had growing up, tithing is one of those things that you do if you have to endure to the end. You know, you got to give God a tenth. Well, I was living for myself, and I got in my first car, and you know, drove it to every place you shouldn't go to as a Christian, and it would break down here and there, and so I thought, well, I'll tithe, and that, because I'll tithe, God will bless, and my car will run fine, you know, and so I began tithing. Oh my goodness, you know, and of course, did my car break? Oh yeah, it still broke down, and so you know, I got mad at God, you know, and quit tithing, you know. Well, when I got saved, you know, it was just natural. It was like, well, now I know what that's about, and there wasn't any hesitation. We started tithing almost immediately. That was one thing that I understood it for the wrong reasons, but now we understood that salvation's a gift, and God was moving me to want to do these things. So we began tithing right away, and I can say that, you know, God has. There's times where, you know, a great deal of the cares that we casted at the Lord's feet were cares in how to pay the bills this week, cares in how to pay the rent, and we would still tithe, and God always provided our needs. We never missed a meal, and I remember moving out here. We left our jobs behind, and we moved in. The house was moved into the lease with the mortgage, and the lot rent was twice what we've ever paid in rent. We never paid that much. We didn't have jobs, no phone when we came out, and God, you know, God took care of all that. But I remember tithing one time, and when we were young and in our marriage, we didn't have credit cards for a while and such, and of course no cell phones and didn't have computers for a while there, but we would pay our tithe with cash. And I remember going to church one day, and I had my suit jacket. It was Florida, it was hot, so you'd leave your suit off till you got right in church, and you know, and then put your suit on, whatever, and I'd put the tithe was in my vest pocket. And I put that, I'd set my vest on top of the car, we were setting something, got in the car and took off. And realized after we gone away is that it was on the top of the car. And I can't remember if we even got the suit back. I know we didn't get the tithe back. It was gone. And so now was the challenge, okay, what do you do now? Who's gonna lose out, God or you? You know, and God gave us the grace. We thought, you know, well, God's, you know, we'll pay it. So we made up for the tithe again. And even in that time, we never found ourselves lacking. You know, God has always provided. And probably many of you can think of times when that you don't know how it happened, that bill came up. And God provided it, or that need was met. At least now we're talking this past year. God moved us to be probably gave more to missions this past year than we ever have as a family. And we were looking at the income, and we made less than we did last year. And we gave more than we did last year. And we looked at the income, and we wound up, and we also ended up getting that car this summer. And we looked at, and we ended up with more actually between our savings and checking than we had the year before. And she's figuring out, what in the world, you know? And of course, it's just that thing where, you know, sometimes God he rewards us by not letting the money flow out so easy, like those Israelites going through the desert when their shoes didn't wear out and all those things. And see, we don't. It's hard for us to keep track of all that. But when God saved us on that, he can give us those divine savings accounts. But we can't always figure out how he does it. But he's always provided. And I've been a firm believer in that where God guides, he provides. And he promises to meet our needs. And I can say that ever since we've known the Lord, he's always met our needs. And we've never been lacking. And coming out here, I mentioned, you know, that I didn't know they were going to do this, but our church took us on for $300 a month support. And that helped us starting out, you know, till we found jobs and all. I didn't know that was going to happen. And they did that for a while. And it's been my testimony that God has met every need, and many in miraculous ways, it seems. And the key there is the needs. It's the needs. It's be able to, you know, pay to have what we need. And God's blessed us here, and we have burdens a little differently now. We're not living paycheck to paycheck, and not rich by American standards. We're rich by the world standards. We all are here in that case. But I tell you what, God's been good, and I would testify of His grace. I'm amazed at His grace. Amen. All right. Well, with that, I think we'll just close a little early today, and we'll pray and have Brother Charles come up and Sister Anna and close us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to praise You. And Lord, You've said in Your Word that we should praise You as Your saints. And God, each one of us here, we know that we look to You. We call upon Your name every day. And God, we are Your children, and You are a great and wonderful Father. What God could be both our Father and our brother, and the very Spirit within our hearts? And You are all through God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, God, I thank You, and I praise You for wanting to be so near to us and making a way that we could be so near to You. And I thank You for that. And oh God, you have cared for us wonderfully. Father, we have many blessings. We have heaven to look forward to. And I pray You'd help us to remember that. And God, we are all here still because You have yet wonderful things to do in our hearts and lives. God, we can yet grow more into the image of Jesus Christ. We can yet, God, impact somebody else in some way, where they would know that You have touched their lives through us. And I pray You'd help us to remember that and to be looking forward to ministering in whatever way that we can for that by Your power and by Your word. And help us to be careful to thank You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen.